going deep. I feel like Kalo on the Miami Heat. The words I speak off this sheet are like a three-peat. I don't just hop on a track, I bring running cleats. I'm a player for real, more than an athlete. Let my mama tell it, could have ran for the Senate. Instead I penned it for Donovan Bennett. I'm cemented, this a deep dive. In your headphones or a long drive. Up close and personal, just like you courtside. There ain't no out of bounds here, no offsides. We going live in 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. You are now tuned in to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
That's right, it is the Going Deep podcast, and once again, you get a Cabrell Bartholomew Richards
edition. Let's go, baby!
Of the pod. It's not your middle name.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening.
Cabrell Jace Richards.
It's Trace.
Yes. So much to talk to you about. We're probably not going to tackle everything. So much has happened, including the fact that you lost the position.
What do you mean?
I mean, for so long, you were moonlighting as the interpreter for one of the greatest baseball players of all time. And unfortunately, you've been let go, as you've been found guilty for placing 19,000 bets, of which the average size was 12,000.
Free e-pay.
What do you make of that story? First of all, and I don't know if it's just the fiscal conservatism of my wife, which has now bled into me, where I'm reading the story and the findings and the fact that you're in debt 40 plus million.
Now, those are the losses.
To bookmaker. Sure.
And it's...
Like, I have anxiety just talking about that.
Yeah, but, I mean, we don't know how much he won over that time. And also... It sucks for him that he just got swept up in this investigation of the illegal bookmaker from California. And that's the dude who the feds were really after. And then just when they're auditing his phone records and all that stuff, then like, oh, what's this over here?
We do know how much he won. And it was not as much as he lost. He won $140 million. He lost $183 million. So bookie Matthew Boyer, who floated him a credit line against, I guess, is thinking he's going to be good for it. It's really Shohei's money, so he's good for it. Or I don't care, because one way or another, I'm going to get my money. He's going to win it back, pay me back, or I'm going to break someone's kneecaps.
Okay, well, what do you believe as far as who was actually, not who was actually betting, but who were the bets for?
I, at first, believed that this was all Shohei, and he was just going to the press conference giving you the Scooby-Doo, the wasn't me. She's going on the counter, it wasn't me. On the sofa, it wasn't me. He even got me on camera, it wasn't me.
Even got me on camera, like, you can't deny that. Even got me on camera.
I mean, it was before facial recognition software, so you could deny it. Who knows?
You have
AI,
a tattoo on your
actually,
shoulder.
Actually, now you can deny it more. Hey, it's AI. That's not me.
Oh, well, maybe, yeah. There's some of those deep fakes that look pretty good. I saw one with Elon Musk and Steve Jobs the other day. I'm like, these two have, or maybe they have met, but like, there's no way this footage is real. But it looked pretty good. Anyway,
this is the point of life we're in, where whenever anything happens, you're like, is that real?
Always, man. Always. I mean, we were discussing the
Drake and Kendrick.
And Kendrick beef and like the first Drake leak. Like, this is, I was skeptical. I'm like, this sounds AI, like the cadence.
Too
is
much
off.
Swearing.
Like, it was too much swearing. Like, Drake really dropped these many F-bombs. And then it was, I guess Drake had sent the clean or the CDQ. How good was it to see CDQ in a description and a caption? Because that just took us back to like LimeWire, G-Nutella, or Nutella, whatever. However the hell you actually said that one. It took me back to like the mid-2000s.
Napster.
Napster. I never used Napster. LimeWire was the one that I used. And you see CDQ in the description, you just hope it really is the song in CD quality. And you get, sometimes you just get like that really intense, high frequency, just garbage. Like, oh, you feel like you were betrayed by the platform that's stealing music.
That's back in the day when you would burn your CDs.
Homie, how many mixtapes and mix CDs did you make for romantic partners.
Dude, I had a whole album. Come on, let's flip through. Let's go. Like, right there.
You had the
That's
the,
right.
The CD book?
Right there. Oh, like, right there in the front seat. No, not the pearlies. You're just going to pass me the book of CDs. And, yeah, what do you feel like? You want some of Usher's confessions? We could do that.
Okay, so
you want some John B? We could do that.
Now we're in an era where you have to question
want some
everything.
Tank? We could do that.
Nobody said you want some Tank. It was Usher, Genuine, some, just 112.
In case we don't make it home tonight.
What group was that again?
I don't know. No idea. Man. But I had it.
Oh, this is a total side
next?
Note.
Was next?
It was next. The Toronto Blue Jays.
Can we just think about those lyrics? Sorry. And Armin, feel free to weigh in. Just in case I don't make it home tonight.
Yeah.
Let me make love to you for the last time, baby. Dude, where are you going? Are you going to war? What are you talking about?
My guy's in the streets. My guy's outside.
But, like, what type of guilt
the block
is he trying to put
yeah.
on this poor
That is some
partner.
Real emotional
Just in case I don't make it home.
Manipulation.
What?
I know.
Like, before death?
Yeah.
Anyways.
Did it work?
I mean, that's, I don't know.
So as we're on this thread.
And how many times can you play that card?
Yeah.
You said you were going to die last week, Anthony. Okay?
Javon, I'm tired of this, but okay, one more time.
You're saying.
I went to the Blue Jays played the Yankees recently, and I went into the clubhouse after the Jays had won a game, went to talk to Dalton.
How's the new clubhouse?
It's a nightclub, homie. And this is what made me think of it, because of the music. After the Jays win, when you go into the clubhouse, so picture a rectangular-shaped room. There are, like, a video board. You know, like, inside of arenas, there's a video board that lines the inner, like, the lower bowl. And you see advertisements. You see scores from other markets. And it's generally for ads.
Live betting odds.
Well, some. And then, but it's mostly ads. Like, oh, Pizza Pizza or whatever. This bank and that bank. Promotions and stuff. 50-50 draw. There is a video board that lines the inside of a clubhouse. And then above the video board, every four stalls, there's like a flat screen TV. On the video board, it's in red and white, or red and blue, Jays win, Jays win. That's the text that flashes. Homie, there is a smoke machine in there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know this?
No, I didn't. I love
so
it.
I go in, I'm like, I say to Simon Wells, the PR guy for the Jays, I'm like, homie, is that a smoke machine? He's like, yeah. So I go in, and I think 112, by the time I got in there, 112 was playing. So that era of R&B in the mid-2000s.
Pieces and cream.
Yeah. But I was like, what? And then look to my left, Vogue's having a beer. Bo's just eating, like, whatever, a post-game meal in one of those, like, to-go containers. And there are a couple of other pitchers in the background. But I was like, and it was loud, homie, as though we were at, now this is a specific Toronto reference, as though we were at Rebel Nightclub. It was just like
they were gonna say Lost and Found.
Oh, Lost and Found didn't have any. Lost and Found was like a shoebox, but hit. Remember those Monday nights? Ooh, those Monday nights hit different. Anyway, so that's my. Okay, so
well, I heard the visiting clubhouse is like a hotel. It's like you are at a high end.
It's nice. It's not like it's nicer than what it used to look like. And so I went. I went in there to talk to. Aaron Judge and Juan Soto, they weren't around when I got there. But it's nice. It's like it's definitely upgraded. It's a little bit more narrow than it was. It's a different configuration. But it's nice. And yep. The Jays, like every stall is kind of angled almost. It's the best way I can describe it. But it's beautiful. The Jays clubhouse is beautiful. And they have this new a gym facility like right across the hall, and it looks beautiful down there. Anyway, so that's what it was, the 2000s R&B that took me to this moment.
I love that, whether it's Mark or Marnie, you know, the Jays front office, they're just like, oh yeah, this is what we're on. Like visiting players, when you come through, like take a look. No stone unturned, no Rogers dollar not spent.
Yeah.
Like, we're A1 over here.
Even next to the, like, behind the visitors' dugout is a weight room for the visiting team. It's kind of like, and that whole underneath there is, that's reconfigured too. The stadium looks dope. Okay, so now we're in a culture, getting back to what we were saying before, where you question everything you read, right, because of the advancements of AI. And this is the worst the AI is ever going to look or feel. Like, our experience with it, it's just the worst. It's only going to get measurably better. So I didn't let you finish. Who do you believe those bets were for that Ipe was logging with this illegal bookmaker in California?
I believe he found a kink in the armor, and he is a diabolical Tom Sandoval level liar. Is what I believe. Because.
But Tom Sandoval wasn't siphoning money from the family in succession.
I mean.
Oh, Tom Sandoval, not Tom. Sorry. What was Tom's character's name in succession? Who married Shiv?
Shiv.
Not hit. Anyway, a different Tom. My bad.
Yeah, I'm talking about Vanderpump Rules.
Okay. Oh, jeez, man. I mean, come on.
The real great drama of our time, not
jeez
succession.
Louise.
His crime, according to many women, is just as great. My guy not only got with...
Wait, Tom Sandoval or Ipe?
No, Tom Sandoval.
Oh, my goodness.
My guy not only did he get with a woman that is in the friend group of his woman, he got with her in the bed that she bought.
Oh, my goodness.
In the hot tub that they share.
Oh, that is diabolical.
And he got with her... on random times when she was mourning, like when she had a pet die, like there's just...
Talk about emotional manipulation.
Yeah, there's some rules that you just don't cross. And then they had random matching jewelry, things you don't care about. what I believe is he found a flaw in the system where we're going to do this phone recognition terms of moving this money. Is Banks of America have the phone recognition of what Shohei would sound like if he was speaking English with a Japanese accent? Like, no. The biggest flaw that to me was exposed was that CAA, who reps so many great artists, creators, directors, athletes, they had not one person on their team who spoke Japanese. So all of their conversations to Shohei were through this guy. So they could be sitting in, you know, a beautiful, you know, meeting room, all glass, 31st floor. And then they're like, hey, Shohei, you know, we're going to do this, blah, 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 whatever. And we really think you need to do this. And then they're just hoping that the message gets there. Hey, Shohei, you know what? We've actually noticed that accounts payable... the Angels are saying there's some weird stuff going on, that, you know, some of the direct deposits are being changed. Do you know anything about that? Oh, Shohei's actually really private about his finances. He doesn't want to talk about that. Oh,
I think,
okay.
That was to
sorry,
the,
Mr.
I think
Shohei.
That was to the accountant, not to the agent, because the agent's just going to be accounts receivable. They're just getting the 4%.
But if you're at an agency like CA, it's holistic, where we have someone helping you with real estate. We have someone helping you with assimilate. We have someone who's dedicated to your wife and your family, taking care of all that stuff. Like, we got you. Mm-hmm. Part of the reason why you're giving us a percentage that we're like, outside of maybe Boris a couple times, and Boris is losing some people now, both losing their money and losing some clients recently. But ultimately, you're going to make what you're going to make. It's somewhat binary. We can get you like in a different commercial stratosphere, get you some more followers. But we're really here to help you with all that other stuff that you don't want to worry about, so you can just focus on inside fastball, turn on it, move the hips. You know, squish the bug, Tony Gwynn style.
And throwing 101 with movement. But Ipe Mizuhara is like... Shohei's like most trusted guy. So why wouldn't you trust that guy? It's like Uncle Dennis for Kawhi Leonard. Or if you're dealing, if you're CA and you're trying to court LeBron, Mavericks LeBron's guy, or Rich Paul is LeBron's guy, why wouldn't you trust them?
The difference is when you're CAA and you're talking in the meeting, knowing you have to win over Maverick or Rich because LeBron may or may not care about whatever you're talking about. LeBron can still understand what you're saying. He can still... Shohei, blink if you agree. Like, he was not part of these meetings at all. That, to me, I found fascinating, that there's no part of the infrastructure that was somewhat of a firewall from this happening. And the interesting is, the day this went down, they were, like, smiling together in the dugout. So... Shohei would have to be an incredible actor to essentially understand that he's losing this amount of money, not care, know that essentially the feds are coming, and he would be in hot water and be just playing it so cool to the very end.
But here's the part, the smoking gun text message that Ipe sent to the...
Too obvious?
I'm like, come on, man. No, who would ever write that? Like, do you have the text there? Let me the text was something like,
the
it was like he sent it to the what did he say? He was like,
the bookie.
Oh, I've been stealing from this guy. Like, no, they caught me. Something like that.
Technically, he said, I have been stealing from, because the bookie was like, oh, this is ridiculous. Clearly you're just a runner for him, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's not like you're stealing. And he's like, well, technically I have
been something stealing. Like that. I should look it up, but it was, I'm like, nobody's going to write that. So that's why, to me, I was like, that one doesn't pass the smell test. And I think, you know, that Ipe is just a proxy for other dudes.
Well, there's the flaw in my argument is that if I am arguing, which I literally just did, that Ipe was this mastermind moving money, you know, Bernie Madoff type Ponzi scheme type movements, but then he's dumb enough to send that via SMS. Like, those two things don't exactly align. Now, listen, if you are someone who has an addiction issue, you'll find a way to get whatever you need to continue to be able to feed that addiction. But yeah, the whole thing is suspect. It happens also at a time where there's a perfect storm where we're talking about the exact placement of gaming, sports betting, wagering in our current culture. And I was giving a tour to some media students from my high school. Shout out to St. Andrew's College. You were nice enough to swing by. But the teacher is asking you a fair question in terms of, well, how do you regulate any of this? What is enough, not enough? How does any of this make sense? And it's funny that this conversation was happening at the same time that, you know, some NCAA players were saying they were getting, you know, death threats in terms of what was and wasn't happening in games that they were involved in. And, you know, players are saying that a lot of the online abuse that they get is relative to, you know, the outcomes, not on wins and losses, but on numbers.
And of like their player props.
Correct. And, you know, obviously, you know, there's the Jonte Porter of it all, who has been banned for life.
Yeah, that was... Adam Silver is like, I'm sending a message to everybody.
Well, I mean, he's now banned two people for life. Like, one of his first acts was banning Donald Sterling for life.
Oh, I thought Tim Donaghy, but I guess that was the David Stern era in like 07, 08, or something like that.
So there's a theory called the adaption theory, which is, essentially says it takes 5 years for a society to figure out how to handle things when you regulate something that was previously an illicit activity. And so we're in that lag period, the 5 years, when it comes to gambling and sports betting. And I actually took the Ipe news, the fact that the story was broken, that the feds were all over it, that the forensics were pretty clear. I took the news that, you know, Jonte Porter, some of the bets that he told people to make were frozen. The fact that it was an open and shut case, that he was found out and quickly kicked out. I actually took that to mean the opposite of what many people thought. Many people, oh man, look, these are symptoms of a real problem. I was like, no, actually, I think this means that the system is actually working. That you're able
to identify this information.
That the leagues have relationships with the books so they can have all of the information. Everything's on the up and up. Unlike, obviously, Ipe, who was, you know, doing his business offshore. I actually think that we're in a relatively, you know, good spot. This is where I say this podcast brought to you by. It's not brought to you by a gambling partner, although it could be in the future. But when you saw Jonte Porter, I can't even say fall from grace, because most people just heard about the fact that he existed when he was banned for life. What was your biggest takeaway?
That he just thought he could just get away with. It's like when you're I don't know if every thief considers themselves a thief, but like a thief, but like you start like you steal gum from the corner store, and then maybe you steal like a chocolate bar, and they're like, oh, okay, I got away with that. Maybe you steal like a can of Pepsi. It's just like these are like small little things. I'm just trying to do this. He may actually have a gambling problem because he didn't properly appraise. Like,
may have a gambling problem. He April, May, June, July, August has a gambling problem. What are you talking about? Well, this guy, his smallest bet was $15. His largest bet was $22,000. His net winnings were $21,965.
But this guy could have thought like, all right, let me just start some. Let me just see if I can actually pull this off. Because it's not illegal. It's just immoral. And in the, I suppose in the, well, I actually, mean, hold on. In it, the NBA.
It's insider trading. It is illegal. If you are an NBA player.
But you can bet on other sports.
Sure. But he was betting on his own sport.
I know.
And he was telling and advising people as if he was giving investment advice on how to bet on his. And some of that advice, which, and quite frankly, given standings, wasn't bad advice, but was for his team to lose.
I know. That I think that's the one that was the most egregious, like publicly. But if you're, listen, the league has partnerships with sports books. So it's like, hey, I can see the rationalization. I don't agree with it. I could see it though. Like, hey, if you're taking money in the front door from these big partners, like, why can't I get in on the action as well and bet on other sports? We don't know what his record was betting on college football or college basketball, baseball, football, whatever. But I just thought maybe he just thought he could get away with it, and then ultimately it cost him his career. It was not. He did not do the proper risk assessment for ultimately what happened, which is like he's just in disgrace. He's going to be remembered for this for the rest of his life, and it's his own fault.
If you're talking about the tape guy in the video room who makes $75,000 a year and has no union protections and has no leverage, sure. He had a better chance of making money if he just ironed out his jump shot and had a halfway decent NBA career instead of literally risking it all.
Yeah, I know. And listen, insider trading is the right comparison, I think. But like in the financial world, I think the SEC, I think you can go to jail, and many people have. Or maybe actually when it's white collar crime, I think your firm pays a fine or whatnot, but I just thought the punishment was like, this is Adam Silver sending a message to the world of sports. And well, Goodell did two years before with Calvin Ridley, who just, he bet on his team to win. I think he was with Atlanta at the time, and he was injured. He was just in Florida. So the system is working because every league and every sports book works with like a monitoring service. I think it's called US Stealth or US, I can't remember the name of the company, but a way to practice some form of responsible gambling is, and certainly with like young people, is you need a driver's license, you need a credit card, you need like banking information to even get an account. And I suppose you can forge stuff to get an account, but I mean, these books are trying to do their best to discourage young people from getting accounts when they're not, they're not legal age, 18 most places, maybe 19 in some spot. I think it's 18. But when you need your driver's license, you need like government ID to get one of these accounts. So anybody who has a contract in a professional sports league is now like on this list in this database. And then when you're logging bets, like there is definitely transparency between the books and the leagues. Because why wouldn't there be? I mean, the risk of the integrity of your sport and your operation is just too great for them not to be on point with this stuff. So Adam Silver's like, we just want to make sure that this does not happen again ever. And hopefully it doesn't, but we'll see.
We shall see. I said, he was, I guess, giving good advice on picking the Raptors to lose because they lost a lot. I am corrected. He bet on the Raptors to lose three times. He lost that bet all three times. So even a guy who, again, had the information, was part of the team, Granted, he didn't play in those games, so he couldn't influence it in that way, and maybe that's why they won. Even he struck out, went 0 for 3 on picking a bad team to lose. So I could have just told him, hey, just wait for the Pistons to come to town, my guy. The Raptors never beat the Dwayne Casey Pistons. Come on.
That's true.
Yeah, we'll see where that conversation goes. I don't think it's the last time we'll be having a conversation like this, but I don't think... Put it this way. Quite frankly, it doesn't matter because sports betting not going anywhere.
That's true.
I think, again, talking about that adaption period, there are things we could do to change things. Like, I don't know, do we need a Jonte Porter prop? Do we need props for anyone?
Yes.
And why? No. Why? I think if we just have props on people who we care about, the chances of someone influencing it who is a multi-million-dollar star are a lot fewer than someone, again, who's around the edges. So if we have props on Tyrese Halliburton and LeBron James and Steph Curry, well, more people care about them, more people will watch them, and there is less of a chance that those guys are going to do something that's not on the up and up. Now, if there is a Scotty Barnes prop and Jonte Porter's out here, you know, not passing him the ball to try and influence them not getting to, you know, 21 points, well, then I suppose that could still happen. You're never going to have a perfect system. But why is there a Jonte Porter prop on rebounds or minutes played? So you can just say, my eye hurts.
It's not
my eye hurts.
It's rebounds, points, and assists, three-point shots. That's basically and turnovers are generally like the prop set.
But who wants that action?
You're trying to find wins in the margin, man.
Who's in the sprite zone being like, oh, man.
Homie, there are people that do this.
3-minute mark at second quarter. Jonte hasn't got up yet, man. Listen, might lose this. Jonte Porter rebounds bet.
Okay, you're thinking too micro, but like as...
I'm thinking realistically.
Well, people are obviously betting on... Listen, if you're star...
Who are these... people have a problem.
Who they are.
If they're doing prop bets on Jonte
You're trying to
Porter.
Find... Listen, you're trying to find wins in the margin, and if... You know, there's a game where like two of your stars go. If Jimmy Butler, you know, Kelly Oubre doesn't land on Jimmy Butler going up for a layup. Okay, so Jimmy Butler's out for the next play-in game. There's going to be someone who gets to move down the bench who will get some playing time. So maybe that, you know, the eighth person on the bench or the eighth man gets.
Which he was not. Keep going.
Well, I'm saying in theory, there will be some players that get to play. And if you're playing at Detroit Pistons and you're the Sacramento Kings or the Indiana Pacers, and you're looking at, all right, we're going to blow these guys out by 30, the bench dudes are going to get some run. So then maybe that's where you bet. Here's a stat for you about gambling in the province of Ontario. So where, and you mentioned the adaption theory, the province of Ontario has had regulated sports betting for now 2 years. In year two, do you know how many... You know what the value of the wagers were? Like how much money was wagered in Ontario in 12 months?
Like the average bet?
No, the total number of wagers.
No idea.
$63 billion.
Straight cash, homie.
And the books and the revenue that...
Can we use some of that to like balance the deficit?
Of course, everything's taxed, homie. Oh, Ontario's getting its cut, homie. It's like a lottery. So the revenue for the books is $2.4 billion. So. Sports gambling is not going anywhere, and it is a massive revenue generator. Now, there are some people who obviously have issues and have gambling problems, and there are a lot of platforms and resources available to help with that. I don't have the 1-800 number offhand. I haven't memorized it, but every sports book has a responsible gaming piece and component. And it's like right there on the main screen. You can click it, and it will take you to a service or a page to get you help. So, betting on Jonte Porter, or insert, you know, deep role player here. It just gives. Listen, it's like a menu, homie. You go to. Is anybody complaining about the Cheesecake Factory having 37 pages of items on the like a 37 page menu? Nobody's complaining because there's something for everyone. There you go.
That's not a like analogy whatsoever.
What do you mean? Just giving you options.
A couple things. One, if you're listening to this and you feel like you may have some issues with gambling, the resources that Cab mentioned will be in the show notes of this podcast. So feel free to find them there. If you're listening via radio, well, subscribe to the podcast and you can find the show notes there. The issue is, you talked about, oh man, the margins, you're trying to win the margins. I mean, I suppose I get that on theory, but the whole idea of bringing in sports betting and gaming is, certainly it helps the sport in terms of the attention economy, the length of time people are willing to watch these events, the interest in watching them in the first place. You have some skin in the game, you want to watch more, but at the end of the day, it's supposed to be recreational. It is supposed to be fun. And so betting on the stars of the game and watching them see if they're going to make their targets or not is fun. Finding margins of random people that nobody cares about, like, that's not fun.
Well, that's
fun.
For the more experienced bettors.
But that's investment, and that is entirely different than, oh man, you know what, there are 500,000 immigrants coming to this country every year. There isn't enough housing. You know, I'm going to buy a plot of land in Milton, in Innisfil, and it's going to be super valuable in 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 years, you know, as the economy continues to widen from the downtown core here in
That's pretty good strategy. That's a good investment.
Correct. That's investment. That's finding.
But you're talking about hundreds of thousands of dollars to get this plot of land. Plots of land you have to pay in cash. You can't mortgage a plot of land.
My point is that sports betting shouldn't be a tool for investment where you're trying to find margins and betting on Jaunte Porter. Should be an entertainment exercise.
So to your point, the insights group here at SportsCent, they've discovered, and they do these inside reports every 6 months, that the majority of Canadians that bet on, or Ontarians that bet on sports, do so for entertainment. In the United States and in the UK, they bet to make a living. They bet to make money. But in Canada, it's for entertainment purposes only. It's a group of homies watching the first round of the NHL playoffs, or watching the start of the MLB season, or the NBA playoffs, or obviously, you know, football Sundays. So it's entertainment mostly for the Canadians that do wager in this province, and probably across the country. Oh no, yeah, the insights group, they did poll people from across the country. And one thing I need to add, so you can just go to iGamingOntario.ca if you need help or know someone that needs help with gambling. And there are responsible gaming sites on this. So just go there, iGamingOntario.ca. Also, here's the phone number: 1-866-531-2600. Or you can text 24/7, and that can get you help for someone that is experiencing trouble with gambling or addiction. Text 24/7.
It's a good place to leave it there. Let's take a break.
Okay.
More conversation with Cab after this.
My name is Lucille Bryan.
I'm Clifton Bryan.
My grandson has a show.
And I'm so happy that you are listening to Going Deep with Donovan Bennett.
I'm so glad that he had a show. Thank you.
Thank you, Grandma and Granddad. Thank you, Cab, for during the break humoring me with some...
We thriving out here.
Some 90s R&B allows me to reminisce. We are around the same age as LeBron James, who's chasing a NBA title. And it was released by someone also close to our age, Pablo Torre. The recruitment video,
man,
that the New York Knicks put together to try to lure LeBron there before he obviously took his talents to South Beach, made the decision in Connecticut at the Boys and Girls Club with Jim Gray. Brought to you by Vitamin Water.
Yes, it was.
It was when Vitamin Water was just coming out. The video in the subjects that they canvassed to talk to him did not age well.
Oh, yeah.
Can I present for you Exhibit A?
Yeah.
Harvey Weinstein?
Yeah, that's a good Exhibit A.
Not a good look. Exhibit B, Donald J. Trump.
Right. Yeah.
Who LeBron would later go on to call, and I quote, a bum.
Yep.
And would not visit in the White House.
Or stay at his hotels.
I was actually waiting. I was like, this is so bad. Where is the sound of Diddy calling LeBron to can't stop, won't stop, come to New York?
To come to New York?
Chris Rock was great, and that made sense. Although it was also revealed that essentially they basically just
take twos and take threes in the video.
Yes,
alt takes.
Yes, for Chris Bosh and Dwayne Wade. Although Chris Rock's like, yeah, no, I'm not. Chris Bosh, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Don't care.
I'll do another take and say Dwayne Wade's name, but I won't say Chris Bosh's name in a third take.
And then, like, randomly the video starts with James Gandolfini, which at the time maybe made sense.
Yeah, Sopranos was a legendary show, iconic show.
Sure, but so was Martin. Like, if I'm recruiting this one specific person, I don't care about Mayor Giuliani.
Yes. Right. There's another one that didn't age well.
Did not age well at all.
That's Exhibit C.
I'm thinking, okay, who makes sense for this person? Like, Jay-Z. Well, again, maybe you would have thought
Jay-Z was with another camp, though. He was with the Brooklyn Nets at the time, part of that ownership group.
Yeah. My point is, people that make sense for LeBron, and not just a random cast character. What's Alec Baldwin got to do with LeBron? What? Like, what?
Alec Baldwin's over there on 30 Rock, just hanging with Tracy Jordan and, or Tracy Jordan, this is the character's name, and Tina Fey.
If I'm LeBron, I've met these people at some Grammy party or Oscar party or Wasserman party, whatever. And I'm not impressed that they're in a video, right? This is not Raptors recruiting Steve Nash and they got Gretzky to voice the video.
Right.
This is not that. So, like, you got to come with, and again, it's not as if he was going to Chicago, but you got to come with Oprah. Like, you got to come with someone who's going to stop me in my tracks and be like, wow, they took the time to address me specifically and it says something about me. This gave me... I mean, retroactively, it aged poorly, but this let me further know they did not understand the assignment.
So in 2010, the luminaries in New York, certainly in the culture world, obviously Jay-Z, Puff.
Give me some J-Lo.
50 Cent, J-Lo, and I don't know if 50 Cent and Hove were beefing at the time. I'm not sure exactly what their relationship was.
Give me a LeBron version of Teach Me How to
Rock. Then, you know, can you get Mike Tyson? But in 2010, when did the Hangover movie come out? 2009? So Mike Tyson was back sort of in good graces of the culture, like maybe more forgiven.
Give me LL Cool J.
Yeah, but like...
Give me the cast of SNL. Give me something with some cultural cachet someone of his age. I don't know. Give me two people that are black.
Jeter.
How's that sound?
Derek Jeter as the captain of the Yankees. Eli Manning holding a Lombardi trophy because he won one in 2000, I guess technically 8.
Give me Michael Strahan. Give me anybody else. I feel like Jeter was somewhat above that. Like, I feel like A-Rod would have done it and Jeter would be like, nah.
Well, A-Rod, I mean, they won a title in 2009. You know what's crazy about the Yankee Stadium, the Yankees built the stadium in 2009, the new stadium. They won a World Series and haven't done anything since.
Yeah.
But you're right.
Give me Serena Williams talking about winning.
But Serena's from L.A.
That's not the point. Like, have her talking about what it's like winning in New York. What those nights are. Give me McEnroe. A big Knicks fan.
But if you're getting McEnroe, then, like, Alec Baldwin, McEnroe, Harvey Weinstein, that's all kind of the same cluster
God,
of.
What are you talking? Alec Baldwin, Harvey Weinstein, McEnroe are the same?
Yeah, I mean, to a 26-year-old LeBron James from Akron, Ohio, yeah, there's a bunch of old white dudes. Famous white dudes that are like...
One is an athlete. One has some swag.
But they have the same level of probably the same level
one's
of...
One's a Knicks fan. They're all the same guy. They're McEnroe.
Yeah, but they're all celebrities in their field.
You know what? Get his brother, too. John and Pat McEnroe. Get them both.
If you're already getting James Gandolfini and you're getting Alec Baldwin, like James Dolan or whomever is on his team, has probably reached out to some of those other luminaries. And listen, they've had a full year to put this video together, or maybe a couple of months. So they had time to reach out to people and just send a camera to wherever they were shooting a commercial, or if Jeter was in Kansas City. That's a phone call that Dolan, makes to one of the Steinbrenners, and maybe they hate each other, or maybe they don't, and like, do this for me, or maybe Dolan just calls Jeter. Actually, he probably wouldn't call Jeter himself, but there were some obvious misses. I understand the strategy.
Give me Letterman. Give me Jon Stewart. Give me somebody with some juice.
Yeah, Letterman would have been, but would Letterman have played that? I mean, Letterman's from Indiana. Like, he probably, I mean, I know he worked in New York for a long time.
Well, he wasn't going to the Pacers, so don't worry about it, Dave.
You're right. He wasn't. I see the move, but I wish they also would have made it more personal, because not everybody, like, the clips in the thing were, like, kind of, were, like, vague to, like, other players. Not vague to... that you can insert other players' names in it. Like, I need everybody to name check LeBron in every single clip. Like, LeBron, this is the reason why you need to be in New York, because you can become a global brand. And I don't think anybody said that. Or the access to these power brokers on Wall Street, Citibank, J.P. Morgan. I think Bear Stearns, I think, had gone under at that point in the financial crisis. But people of that ilk. And you could be exposed to these cats for whatever you want to do in finance, in philanthropy, or other endeavors. So it was obviously a misfire, and it wasn't really that well done. And it's credit to Pablo Torre for even unearthing this video for us to like have this conversation, because it was one of these Easter eggs that were in the culture or in the zeitgeist. Like, what was? Like, there were rumors, like whispers of this video, and finally, 14 years later, it emerged.
It was like when you go to a museum or something, or you're on one of those guided tours, and they just play a video or play some sound, and it's super generic, like, New York, the Big Apple, the city yeah. of the stars, yeah. the city that never sleeps. It just had all of these, like, random superlatives and adjectives about New York and how big it is, and not anything custom to LeBron specifically, and what it would mean for him. Before we go, it is playoff time.
Yeah.
In both the NHL and NBA, we're having a playoffs with no Steph, no Sid.
Yeah.
We may not have LeBron for long. The last eight matchups, Nuggets-Lakers, the Nuggets won, last eight. These guys, for me, still move the needle. I still care about them. I would still care about prop bets for them.
Me too.
But are we seeing our generational talent somewhat phasing out, making room for these new stars? And do we care about these new stars as much across...
What do you mean, do we care about? Of course we do. They're the faces of the league.
Do you care if Ant Edwards gets over the top and wins a championship?
He's at the beginning
Jason
of his
Tatum
course.
Finally gets ready. Do you care if Jaylen Brown learns to
you
dribble with his left hand?
Hold on. You're a storyteller. Obviously, you care about when the new guard comes in to usher out the old guard.
I do not. I do not.
You Listen. Cared about? Do you care about Steph Curry in 2014-15 when he was coming to supplant LeBron?
First of all, cared about his past tense, and I did because there was a story arc and there was conflict resolution. Can the Warriors, a jump shooting team, win? The Suns got close, never did it. Then they kind of gave up and went to Terry Porter and traded for Shaq, and they weren't really the Suns. Can this new generation of that do it? And can a small point guard, remember that was a thing? Small point guards can't win. Oh, Isaiah Thomas, the only one that's been able to do it. Can he do that? Is that just a regular season thing? There was conflict resolution there. LeBron getting his first title. Is he going to be able to be clutch and finally get over the hump? Can he win without the dudes in Miami? There's conflict resolution. What's the conflict resolution for the Indiana Pacers right now?
Well, I mean,
Can Haliburton, with an ugly looking jump shot win a title? Like,
for that fan
can
base,
can Spicy P be the third best player on a title team again?
Hey, for that fan base that just saw Caitlin Clark join the Indiana Fever, like that would be the ultimate underdog story. And we know that underdog stories are so the most compelling.
Hottest
so,
spot in Indiana. There's one chef's table.
Oh, well, now
back
now
of the,
a great
back
question.
Of the spot. And Haliburton, Reggie Miller, Caitlin Clark show up at the same time. Who gets the table?
Caitlin Clark gets the table with whomever. And she might get two tables. They might ask a table, yeah. Like, you know what, can you guys go
Here's
downstairs? We're gonna move you to a more comfortable spot. Like, well, we're in the best table in the restaurant. No, no, we have another more comfortable spot. And then they just, it's like downstairs.
It's on the patio. It's not patio season, that's fine.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is getting that table. But if it's Anthony Edwards, to use that example, who's all season been getting comparisons to Michael Jordan, the conflict resolution is, if this guy makes it to the conference finals, the storyline's going to be, is this guy actually the next one? My guy's working on left-handed, mid-range bank shots a la Tim Duncan and three-pointers that he's like shooting off the glass. Who the hell does that?
Nobody in their right mind thinks Ant Edwards is the next Michael Jordan. Stylistically,
well, yes,
they are similar.
Aesthetically,
they play
yes.
the same.
Yeah,
but no one.
And
thinks
he's a dog.
He's
going
to win 6 championships and never go to a game 7.
Okay, well,
and
it's
have
impossible
a shoe
to predict
that people are going to wear
Actually,
who have never watched
okay,
him
fair.
Play.
That part is true. I mean, it's that.
Although
part
shout
is
out to the Adidas, I do like the
A-1s. New Adidas kicks are fire. Like all of them, Harden's, his, Dame's is okay, but that new silhouette with that like. That horizontal, almost not stripe, but like that chunky wrap around the base. That looks dope.
Very Fear of God influenced.
Oh, shout out to Jerry Lorenzo.
So you care. You have a deep, dying desire. Because Kate Fagan actually on this podcast and in a TED Talk that's really good, talked about the fact that the reason why we care about sports is stakes and storylines. We want high stakes. We want to understand the storylines, which is why you see WNBA draft doing crazy numbers. It was an open and shut case. Caitlin Clark was going to go number one. We knew that. But 2.45 million viewers, 307% increase. But women's basketball right now, we understand the stakes. It's on a wave. And we have finally started to hear the storylines. Right now in the NBA playoffs, less so in the NHL, where I think there are some real storylines, can Connor get his one?
I hope so.
And bring us championship back to
if not Connor,
the city
then
of
Nate
champions.
Get his second one. And if not Nate, then Austin and Mitchie get their first one and Mo get their first one. I mean it's compelling theater for the, you know, for the upstart or for the superstar to get their first one. Like I know you rooted for Patrick Mahomes to beat Tom Brady in 2019 in the conference finals or the second, whatever that was, for Mahomes to then go to the Super Bowl in place and face Jimmy G and Kyle Shanahan. Like, I know that you did, and you said you rooted for Steph in 14-15 because of conflict resolution. So if it happens for Anthony Edwards, you are going to root for him because it's something that in that case that you hadn't seen before. You've obviously seen a first-time champion, but for that particular athlete, you will get swept up in the narratives and swept up in just watching potential greatness be great. And you and I are both fans of excellence. So I'm rooting. Listen, my personal interest is I'm rooting for Jamal Murray. I'm rooting for the Canadians, and I'm rooting for Shea and the Canadians in the NBA, and I'm rooting for the Canadian teams in the NHL. I would love to see Mitchie or Austin or Connor get their first championship, for their first Stanley Cup championship. I'd love to see Tyler Toffoli get another one. He's in Winnipeg with Scheifele and Connor Hellebuck and those dudes. So I'm rooting for the Canadians.
I'm rooting for Shea, SGA, all day. Let's bring it back to Hamilton. I just want him to have, I don't know if it's ever been in Hamilton.
The Larry O.B.? Why? Yeah. I guess, unless it's on a tour, I don't know if anybody's ever brought it to Hamilton,
yeah,
Ontario.
Let's go. We're bringing it to Hutch's. Let's get some fish and chips on the water. with the L.O.B. We're bringing it to West Town. We're bringing it to Tim Hortons Field. We're going to put it on someone's lawn. As we charge people $15 to park. I want this guy to have just a crazy 365 where...
Shea, you're talking about?
Yeah. Where gets Canada to the Olympics, qualified, goes on a run. I think he should be the MVP. He's probably not going to win it, but I think he should be. Gets an MVP, maybe a Finals MVP, Larry O.B., and then...
Man, that's insane. That's an insane 360.
That's right. I'm not done. And then
Goes to Paris?
We are in Paris, and not just for Fashion Week. We're in Paris at the Olympics. Gets us a medal.
Oh, my gosh. That would be... I don't know if that was... Did MJ, I guess MJ may have done that in 92 and then won gold in Barcelona. Probably won an MVP and he definitely won a finals MVP. Like that would be MJ level.
It would be the Shea Slam is what it would be. So your heart is with Connor and Jamal, correct? Oilers and Nuggets?
In hockey, I don't have a... I guess between Edmonton and for the Canadian teams, Edmonton
is it because
and Toronto.
You live in Calgary, you just don't want to put that out there that you're cheering for the Oilers. You don't want that smoke.
No, I love Connor McDavid. I mean, he doesn't love me, but I love watching him play. And yeah, Jamal, I'm openly rooting for Jamal Murray.
Yeah, so it's
and shout out to Roger Murray too, Jamal's pops.
I'm TML forever.
Goodness gracious.
Well, I just know that. Listen, this. The sports economy that we both work in will be printing money if they win. But low key, I'd love to see Van go for a run.
That'd be cool.
I'm afraid of what might happen because they love to riot whenever their team is in the Stanley Cup. But last time they hosted the Grey Cup, they ran to the Stanley Cup. They're hosting the Grey Cup this year, so history might repeat itself.
Oh, wow.
And in basketball, as I mentioned, the Thunder. I think they are building a... like collegiate, real cool atmosphere, great vibe. Love to see him play dynasty in the way the Warriors did. All the guys drafted, you know, real smart coach. I think
smart front office with a ton of draft assets.
Correct. Although as a Raptors fan, you know, maybe you want the Thunder to lose. So eventually, like Harden and KD and Russ, they just kind of get fed up of being in, you know, middle America and not having a championship to show for it. And they say, all right, peace. I'm going to exercise my right as a free agent and go to a bigger market. And hopefully, if you're Raptors fans, that would be Toronto. Lastly, before I let you go, talking about the Olympics, the USA Avengers has formed.
Mm, yeah, bro. Yeah.
I want to make an argument and say that that is the greatest basketball team ever assembled. That is about to play in the basketball tournament that will be the greatest tournament ever assembled. When you look at the strength of players across the board, for some teams who haven't even qualified yet, they've got dogs on dogs on dogs. And I think man for man, this USA basketball team would beat the Dream Team. Now, some people are going to get all in their feelings. How can you say that? Whatever. The Dream Team was the greatest collection of stars, but not stars necessarily in their prime. Like, Magic Johnson was basically retired at that point.
Magic Johnson was like 32 years old.
Magic Johnson was basically retired. He was not a dominant player.
The only reason why he retired is because he got HIV, dude.
Correct. But was he still giving people numbers in the NBA like LeBron and Steph and KD and Kawhi?
LeBron is 40!
And still giving people numbers.
LeBron's 40. KD's like 35. Dog. Steph's 32. Michael was 30.
Dog, Larry Bird had to go lie down.
Okay, fair. No, that part's for sure. For sure. But there was still Barkley who was like, Barkley came in 84, same year as...
What's Barkley going to do with Joel Embiid? What's he going to do with him? Joel's going to put him in the basket.
Yo, Barkley will make Joel Embiid leave the court and go cry in the bowels of the arena. Are you kidding? Barkley, Malone? What's Malone going to do?
He's going to try and chop your wife. That's what he's going to do.
Malone was 6'9", 250 of the guy's body was made out of marble.
You know who's 6'9", 250? LeBron James. Guy who's going to be a two-guard or a three-guard on this
40,
team.
40, homie.
Who's checking Steph? Who on that team's checking Steph?
Scottie Pippen.
Okay. Scottie Pippen's going to run with Steph for 48 minutes?
Scottie Pippen is arguably the most underrated defensive basketball player in the history of the sport. And the new Scottie Pippen is Kawhi, but can you trust Kawhi's knees?
That's great because
defensively, not offensively.
Steph Curry's brand slogan is underrated. Neil's buckets underrated too.
And I know they got shooters. Jason Tatum is unstoppable. But Jason Tatum and Ant, like those guys. Jason Tatum is almost unstoppable.
Doug, there's no Christian Laettner on this team.
Yeah.
Their 12th man was Kawhi Leonard, a Finals MVP.
He's not at full health. Neither is LeBron. AD, I mean, the argument could be made he's I mean, he's in full health now, but...
Well, he's about to get swept out of the playoffs. So he's got a lot of time between now and the end of July.
To have those ice baths and steam showers and whatever other ways to stimulate rehabilitation. Where those not Norco. What are those leg compression units that they wear on the planes? You elevate, whatever those are. I'm sure they made them for 7 foot dudes named Anthony Davis or Bam Adebayo. That you can try to make the argument, but nobody's beating the Dream Team. It's a Dream Team for a reason. And yes, Larry Bird was probably missing a few C5 or C or whatever whatever number on his spine was totally like irreparable. However, you still have Michael Jordan and the force of will of, like, remember, everybody feared Michael when he stepped on the court. People were like, had anxiety about facing Michael, and any time that they had to face him, people don't fear LeBron, bro. They don't fear him like they feared Michael.
He has a squad. You don't have to fear him because they don't have any Leitners.
Leitner's not going to play anyway.
They don't have any Drexlers.
Clyde could give you work, bro. Clyde could give you work.
Everyone on this team is better than Clyde Drexler. Every last person.
Clyde Drexler, first of all, is a Hall of Famer, and he scored like 25,000 points or something like that.
Correct, and he had Hulk Hogan's hairstyle at the time. Like,
why are you shading Clyde Drexler, man? That guy was, I mean, Jordan took it personally when people tried to compare them, and then he ate his food. But Clyde, man, he won, I think, two titles with Houston. And I don't know if he won an MVP. I don't think he won an MVP, but Clyde was legit. You think he won a Houston Fly Slam and Jamma, whatever. I think they won a title, I believe.
He's going to need the Hyper Ice Normatec leg compression sleeves that you speak
Normatec,
of.
That's the one, yes.
He's going to need the Therabody. He's going to need all of that because he's going to catch a body playing against this Dream Team. It's going to be the Nightmare Team. This has been a dream. Thank you so much, Cab. Thank you for listening. Like, favorite, share, and subscribe. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And as we go, Cab, update us. What do you have going on that we should look out for?
Dalton Varsho, we did a bit with him where we got an independent country music artist named Chris Hennessy to write a walk-up song for him. Varsho's been playing. He's got most recently 3 home runs in 6 games. The kid's been awesome. He's raising that batting average, so we have some more pieces to be released from this Varsho interview that we did in the offseason. So look for that on J Central over the course of the year. We have like 3 more coming out in the next like 6 weeks.
You can find the first piece in the show notes of this very podcast. If you're listening on radio, thank you. We appreciate it. Go download the podcast and watch the feature. Thanks so much. We'll talk to you soon.